Would you please turn with me this morning to the portion of Scripture we read together in the Gospel of John in chapter 1. And the two verses that I would like to consider this morning and again this evening are the verses 11 and 12. Verses 11 and 12, John chapter 1. And there we read, He came, that is, of course, the Lord Jesus, unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The Old Testament is like a long corridor through which Christ the Messiah advances. As he appears at the other end of the corridor, we can only see the outlines of his character through types and shadows. And then, coming nearer, we begin to discern more of his unique and special features through the words of the prophets. Then at last he appears in Bethlehem, in all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He lies there in Mary's arms, a helpless babe. Yet, when she would have looked into his eyes, she was looking into the eyes of God. Because that night in Bethlehem, a manger witnessed the birth of Israel's Messiah. And what had happened there was that the Word was made flesh. The Word being, of course, God himself. This we know from the opening verse of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not only was he called the Word, but we are told also that Joseph would call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That is why the angels announced that night to the shepherds, Unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. But who would recognize him as Savior? And how many would receive him as Savior? Well, our text tells us and gives us some information regarding that particular matter. For in the verse 11 we read, He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But then in verse 12 we read, But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Does this not show us and draw to our attention a great truth? And the truth is this, that all of mankind is divided into two groups, namely, those who have received Christ and those who have received him not. And I would say this morning, here in this congregation, how many have received Christ, and how many are yet without Christ. You've yet to receive him, even though you've been told about him many times. You've had the gospel preached and proclaimed in your ears many, many times. Yea, many Christmases have come and gone, and still you stand with those who have not received Jesus Christ. Well, I trust that this particular time of the year at which we bring to mind the birth of the Lord Jesus, that it will also mean your spiritual birth, your new birth, that today you will be born anew in Christ Jesus, and that you will no longer be one of those who have not received the Lord, but today that you will receive him as your Lord and Savior and friend. And so let us consider these words, the words of our text. And the first thing I want to draw your attention to is here the Savior revealed. Verse 11 begins, he came. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. When the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, that meant that first of all it was an end to all of the waiting. Israel had waited for their promised Messiah for many, many years. But when he came, that is, when Jesus came, then the waiting was over. From the first prophetic utterance in Genesis, that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, right through until Malachi stated, the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. And dear hearer this morning, when the Lord Jesus came as God manifest in flesh and lay there in Bethlehem's manger, then the messenger of the covenant had come. And his coming meant that the waiting was over. Israel had waited for the day when the promised Messiah would be revealed. And even after Malachi had set aside his pen, Israel had to wait another 400 years. As it were, Israel waited in silence before Jesus came and the waiting was over. But we can see from Scripture that many people waited for the Lord's coming, and they waited with great anticipation, for the promised Messiah. Indeed, every woman in Israel hoped that they would be the mother of Messiah. They waited to be honored. A mother indeed would regard it as a great honor if she was chosen to be the mother of Messiah. Take for example Eve. Eve would have been typical of most women, hoping she would be chosen to be the Messiah's mother. Over there in Genesis chapter 4, and in the opening verse, we read there about Eve giving birth to Cain. There we read, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now that phrase may be rendered another way. It may be rendered thus. I have gotten a man, the Lord. Eve really believed. She exclaimed, I have gotten a man, even the Lord. This son of mine must be the Lord, that promised Messiah, the one that was promised to us would come and bruise the serpent's head. She was mistaken, of course, but even though the Lord did not come until many years later, yet Eve was looking for him even then. Now, if some waited to be honored, then others waited to be helped. Take, for example, Simeon the priest. He was typical of those who waited for the Messiah to come and to help them, that is, to help Israel. This we know from Luke chapter 2. And there in Luke chapter 2 and verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." Yes, Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And Simeon believed that the Messiah was indeed the one who would console and comfort and bring help to Israel. You take the word consolation. That word means to come alongside. It is a word used to describe the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, our blessed Paraclete, one who would come alongside us. Simeon had been waiting for the Messiah, one whom he believed would come alongside and bring comfort to the people of Israel. And here we see that Simeon's wait was over, because as John puts it in our text, he came. That is, Jesus came. The consolation of Israel had arrived. The Comforter, our consolation of Israel, came. And when he went away, he sent another Comforter, namely the Holy Spirit. And you recall what we looked at a few weeks ago. Those words mean he sent another Comforter. They mean he sent another of the same. And so the Lord Jesus is the Comforter. And when the Lord Jesus went away, he sent another of the same. He sent another Comforter in the person of the Holy Spirit. But we move on. And while some waited to be honored, and others waited to be helped, still others waited with hope. Take, for example, Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph was a man who waited in hope for the Messiah. We turn to Mark chapter 15. And in Mark 15, in verse 43, we have these words. "Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited." What was he waiting for? Who was he waiting for? "Who also waited for the kingdom of God." And so Joseph of Arimathea, like Simeon, and like many others in Israel, Joseph was waiting for the Messiah. Joseph, like many, believed the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah and his kingdom, and expected the accomplishment of them. And the night that the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Joseph's wait was over. The night the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Simeon's wait was over. The night the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Israel's wait was over. And the night the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem, our wait was over. Because a Savior had come. And the night that the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem, a Savior had come to deliver his people from their sins. And when he came, there were those who felt compelled to spread the good news. Again, we turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 38, regarding Anna the prophetess. We read in verse 38 of Luke 2, "And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him," that is of Christ, "and to all them that looked or waited for redemption in Jerusalem." And so Anna could not keep the good news to herself, just as the angels couldn't keep the good news to themselves. why they had to come and tell the shepherds and sing the praises of the Lord that a Savior was born in the city of David, whose name was Christ the Lord. And now Anna spreads the good news and tells all those who waited for the redemption in Jerusalem. And the Redeemer indeed had come. And how glad we are today that the Lord Jesus has come. Like the Thessalonians, who turned to God from idols to serve the true and living God, and to wait for his Son from heaven. That is, the believers at Thessalonica were waiting also for the Lord's second coming. And dear hearer this morning, you and I should also be waiting for the Lord's return again, for he is coming. He came the first time. The prophecies were fulfilled. The promises were fulfilled. That a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and his name would be called Emmanuel. And praise God, that promise was fulfilled in many others. And as the word of God also tells us, the Lord is coming again, and coming in an hour in which you think not. Oh dear hearer, we better be waiting. We better be ready for the Lord's return. He came, and there was then the waiting. He came, and those words would speak to us of a willingness. That is a willingness on the part of the Lord Jesus. Yes, the prophetic word may have stated that Messiah would come and bruise the serpent's head. But the prophecy also declares that the serpent would bruise his heel. And it was that bruising of his heel that the Savior demonstrated he was willing to endure when he came unto his own. And that bruising would be of the greatest severity. For when the Lord Jesus would come into the world as God manifest in flesh, then Satan, that old serpent, would do his worst against the Son of God. And the best that he could do would be to bruise the Savior's heel. That bruising was so severe that the Savior still bears the marks in his body in glory even today. It was a bruising that would mean being substitute for his sinful people. That bruising would mean suffering at the hands of wicked men. That bruising would mean separation from the Father he loved. And he would be bruised again and again, nails piercing his hands, a crown of thorns upon his brow, his back been opened into furrows of blood. Oh, what bruising the Savior endured on our behalf. Yet knowing all of this, knowing what was in store, if his church was to be redeemed, we read, he came. There you have his willingness. Those two words ought to bring gladness to our hearts and joy to our souls. He came. Yes, hear the good news. Jesus came. And he came to redeem his people. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. For had he not come at all, we would still be in our sin. Had he not come at all, we would be destined for a lost eternity. Yes, he came. Those words speak of a waiting and of a willingness on the part of Christ. And those two words also speak to us of a way. The way that the Savior came into a world of sin could only be described as miraculous. We're told in Luke chapter 1 and verse 30, and how many times will these words be read in places of worship over this particular period of time. There in verse 30, and the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Here we have a record of the miraculous birth of the Lord Jesus. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And this miraculous birth of the Savior was of course foretold by Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. And there in the womb of the Virgin Mary, the divine nature of Jesus Christ our Savior came into union with his human nature. What a mystery this is. No wonder the Apostle Paul wrote, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. He who was God, by the power of the Highest had become man. Two distinct natures in one person, God forever. Oh, what condescension is this, that the second person of the Trinity would stoop so low to become man, that he might save man, in order that he might lift him so high, giving him a place among kings and princes in glory. Oh, how we ought to thank God today that Jesus came. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Yes, we'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory, because he alone is worthy. Oh, how we praise him today that he came. Yes, John tells us that he came. So these words would have us to ask, where? Where did he come to? He came as God manifest in flesh to a city called Bethlehem. It was, of course, appropriate that it was to that particular city that he came, because the name means the house of bread. The house of bread for the one who would be called the bread of life. But that does not tell us the whole story. For on the night of his birth, he came to lowly lodgings. When he was born, the best Mary and Joseph could find for him was a mean manger. No bed for him with pillows and down, but swaddling clothes and straw. Yes, he came to lowly lodgings, and he came to a poor people. So poor were Mary and Joseph that when they went to the temple, they could not afford to bring a lamb for a sacrifice, but they brought two turtle doves, the provision that had been made for poor people. And it was two turtle doves or two young pigeons that Mary and Joseph brought. We know that from Luke 2 and verse 24. And yet, when you think of it, when Mary and Joseph went to the temple with the Christ child, they may not have been able to afford a lamb for a sacrifice. Yet, in the arms of Mary was the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. And if when he came, it was to lowly lodgings and poor people, he came also to a humble home. Carpenters were not very highly regarded or paid in those days. But that's all Joseph, his earthly father, was, a poor carpenter. For later, when people saw him, that is the Lord Jesus, they said, "Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary?" He who had dwelt in the ivory palaces of glory, he who was worshipped by angels, honored by seraphs and cherubims, came to abide in the humblest of homes. It is true, is it not, that he who was rich became poor, that we, through his poverty, might be made rich? That is why he came. He came to make us rich. Oh, not rich with the world's goods, but rich in spiritual things. And all who have received Christ, why, we're richer than millionaires. In this text, we not only see the Savior revealed, but there is here the Savior rejected. And we shall consider then the words of this verse at our evening service. May the Lord bless the word to our hearts this morning. And may we indeed adore him and worship him with all of our hearts, because he came into this world to save sinners. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning, for his own dear name's sake. Amen. O loving and gracious God, we give thee thanks today for the Lord Jesus. How we love him, and how we adore him and praise him for coming, demonstrating that willingness to come. For when the cry went out in heaven, "Who will go for us, and whom shall we send?" we bless thee, the Lord Jesus replied, "Here am I, send me." And we're glad, O Lord, at this time of the year, that we are indeed considering the one who was sent, and praise God, the one who came. Lord, receive of our thanks the worship and the adoration of our souls, for we love thee with all of our hearts. Amen.